free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to Free Energy Now. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net, where you'll see a past lineup of speakers. You can download the past shows that we've done, and you can see who's coming down the pike, as well as see a list of phone numbers if you wish to call in if you're listening live. Today is September 29, 2008, and we are interviewing Raghu Belur. He's the VP of Marketing and co-founder at Enphase, who has come up with a solar microinverter. Basically makes solar panels so they can be modular, increasing the energy harvest by 13 to 15%. The system includes a microinverter, embedded power line communications, and Enlighten, which is a web-based performance monitoring and analysis tool. Basically makes your solar panels modular rather than as an entire system. We appreciate you joining us, Raghu. Thanks for coming to the show.
Sure. Glad to be here.
Well, tell us, you are presently in production. This is a product that is available on the market. And tell us just simply give us an overview of how this thing works.
Great, absolutely. I'd love to do that. If you don't mind, can I spend 30 seconds in explaining how a traditional system works? It'll just put the whole microinverter system in context.
That would be good to give a good contrast.
Okay, so in traditional systems, the PV modules are all connected in series strings. These series strings then generate very high input voltage, and this high voltage that's generated is fed into a large traditional inverter. The traditional inverter really does two key things. The first thing it does is something called MPPT, or maximum power point tracking, which is establishes a bias point for the panels or the modules in order to extract the maximum amount of power out of them. The second thing that the inverter does, obviously, is to convert the DC that these panels have generated into grid-quality AC. Now, because these modules are all connected in series strings, it is what we refer to as the Christmas light problem, which means that if there is any problem with one module, it's going to affect the entire string. Basically, what that means is the performance of one module really is dependent on the performance of the other modules in the system. So in a microinverter case, what we do is that each module gets the benefit of its own inverter. It's similar to a traditional inverter, except it's much, much smaller. It's fully compliant from a safety standpoint. And what it does is each panel or each module now gets individual MPPT. And each panel directly puts out AC. So now all the panels now can be connected in parallel. So there is no high voltage DC to deal with. So there are a number of advantages to connecting them up in this parallel or in this modular fashion, if you may. Each and every panel inverter pair acts like an independent energy producer.
And from a cost point of view, when I picture a bunch of smaller microinverters, one per each panel, as opposed to, my father's got a solar array at his home, and I think there are about 12 solar panels, and they all go in through a big, thick cable into about 24 batteries in a bank, which are then run into an inverter. And the inverter is actually the most expensive component in the system, even more expensive than the solar panels. And that DC, high voltage DC, is then converted into AC that the house can use. Mm-hmm. Price-wise, if he was using your system so that he had one microinverter on each of the 12 panels and then was pulling off in parallel the AC coming from that, would the cost the net cost be more or less than using one large inverter for that system?
That's a great question. Just for our understanding, the microinverters that Enphase has developed is primarily targeted towards what's referred to as utility interactive or grid-connected systems. So we work with a system, we work in a residential on a commercial environment where the utility is already present. So we offset your consumption, and if you're overproducing, for example, during the day, we feed it back into the utility, a meter runs backwards, and during the night when there is no sun, you obviously draw down from the utility. Now, as far as the cost is concerned, the overall system cost is actually lower with us, and there are a couple of reasons for this. One is because the panels are all connected up in parallel, you don't need to route high voltage DC, which means as a consequence of which you don't need expensive DC components like DC combiner boxes, DC disconnects, etc. So there is a lot of savings in terms of what's referred to as balance of system. Second, because you don't have to, again, plumb conduiting, etc., for routing this 600 volts DC in some situations, and you don't have this big, large inverter to install, and gets pretty expensive when you're dealing with larger systems, particularly, as an example, commercial systems where inverters can weigh 3 or 4 tons. You have to get a big crane, lift them up, pour concrete, build a hut around them, and so on and so forth. You don't have to do any of that. And so the total system is actually less because of balance of system and labor savings. And our analysis, which we've seen from the field as well, is that there is about a 15% reduction in BOS and labor savings. So all said and done, the total system cost is actually lower. Now, there are a number of other benefits also to the micro in terms of greater energy harvest, as well as reliability, and we can talk about that. I'm sure you're going to ask me some questions along those lines further along in the interview.
Yeah. One of the things that we've not mentioned yet that your microinverter enables that is not possible with the traditional system is that you can mix and match the types of solar cells. You can have a big old cell, and you can have a newer one that may be smaller, any size, any output. Each one of them acts independently, then you hook those up in parallel. You don't have to match the system. And also, if you have shade on one panel, it's not going to throw things off.
Absolutely. So from a energy production standpoint, let me tackle this as two different problems. The first one is the energy production issue. With the energy production issue, because each and every panel gets MPPT, you're maximizing the output of each and every panel. So in things such as panel mismatch, for instance, even if you have purchased the same panels from a panel vendor, there is manufacturing tolerance. If you see there, plus or minus 5%, in some cases as high as plus or minus 10%. So in a traditional system, because they're connected up in series strings, it's going to operate at the worst performing panel. In our case, no, you can go, panels can be completely different and you're going to maximize the output of each and every panel. Second, as you pointed out, in situations like shade, and again, let's be careful about how we define shade. Shade doesn't necessarily mean just a chimney or a tree. By shade, we mean anything that has to do with non-uniform light, non-uniform irradiance, may it be dust, may it be bird debris, may it be leaf, may it be frost in the winter, for example. It's just anything that's non-uniform irradiance or non-uniform light that's falling on the panel is going to affect a traditional inverter quite dramatically. And what we have seen, we have a number of sites that we have right now where we have a traditional inverter running as well as a system based on a micro, and we have seen anywhere from 5 to 25% more energy harvest. Really, this is about energy because that's what is monetized, is kilowatt hours, and we see 5 to 25% greater energy harvest. Now, in terms of the ability to mix and match, really that we've bucketed that in the category of, tremendous amount of flexibility. And flexibility has, what we mean by that is the panels don't need to be coplanar anymore. If you notice, most solar arrays are all pointed in one direction. Well, yes, you don't want to point them south because you get maximum amount of sun that way. but there are multiple roof angles a lot of times. A lot of times there's a chimney and you're not able to put the panel. So, you could end up putting panels on the east, the west, and the south-facing surfaces, and since each panel just acts like an independent energy producer, you're making use, most efficient use of your roof surface. And second, because you can mix and match panels, down the road, if you want to, if there's a problem with the panel and when you replace it, you'd be hard pressed to go find that exact panel that you'd used previously. Whereas this, with a microinverter, you have complete flexibility. You can put whatever set of panels that you can find and locate them wherever you want. And so what it also allows you to do is really grow the system as convenient. You can start with one panel, for example. I always joke about this. Father's Day gift, you get a panel, and you can build build your solar array as you go because there are no restrictions in terms of string sizing or string design or any of those things that a traditional inverter suffers from. They're just independent appliances, if you may, and you just put one panel up at a time and build as you go. So a number of advantages.
Reminds me of a computer. You get a low-end computer, and then you add in some memory as you need it, buy a new chip, plug it into the slot, get a new hard drive, replace out the old one. By being modular like this, it really gives you a lot more diversity and flexibility.
Absolutely, and to draw parallels, we always say the old traditional inverter systems are your old mainframe type technologies, and now we are like PCs where every panel now has a great deal of intelligence, if you may, built into it as a result of the microinverter.
Now, wouldn't this also apply to a wind application where you could actually mix and match? You have solar panels, you have a wind turbine, and those can all be in the same system, each having its own microinverter giving you AC or grid-quality AC power output that you can then connect in parallel.
Absolutely. This enables a number of other applications. Currently at Enphase, given that the solar market is so large and we can really bring so much value to our customers, we are currently focused on the solar market, but you're absolutely right. The applications are quite diverse. The microinverter will be the enabler potentially for distributed wind generators where you can put smaller systems, smaller wind turbines, in a distributed fashion rather than these big centralized wind farms.
In terms of flexibility as well, I'm thinking that, when you put these panels on your roof, the cables that you typically have to hook up to a panel are really they're very large gauge cables. They're expensive and they're unwieldy. They're very heavy and it's hard to run them. Whereas if you're converting it to AC power, you can just use probably a regular 12-gauge wire that you use in the house wiring, 12, 14-gauge, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, our inverters come with 14-gauge wiring on them already. So you just connect them up in branch circuits. You can have one to as many as 14 or 16 of these in per branch circuit. They're all connected in parallel. The 14-gauge wire effectively looks like a bus, and all the inverters just hang off of it. And you can just pipe that into your AC panel or your load center in your house, and you're done. You don't have any big inverter to install. You don't have big DC disconnects. I'll give you an example. I have about 13 panels on my roof, and it's a very, very clean installation. They put the racking down. They put our inverters. They just mounted the inverters onto the racking, lay the panels down. They did one roof penetration, and then they ran Romex house wiring all the way down to my load center through my attic. And there was no conduits, nothing. And again, this is AHJ or jurisdiction dependent, and they just ran it straight into my load center. It was done. It took them a matter of hours to finish my installation. And it was a very, very clean install, and I'm very happy with the installation.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Last week, coincidentally, the person we interviewed was involved in a wind modular design where they have repeating saucers, as I would call them. They look like flying saucers that go up a disc or go up a column, It looks like a repeating hourglass shape. And then in between the hip portion, I guess the waist portion of the female shape, you've got the outer portion, which should be the hip, and then the inner where the waist mm-hmm. is. Now, they have a turban there, and the shape of this this post basically focuses the wind, so you get a 1.5-fold increase in wind at the turban. And the thing that's nice about that is you, as you put the thing up in the air, it looks a lot better than a regular wind turbine. Mm-hmm. And because you have a whole bunch of small turbines, the modularity of it makes it so that, you know, one little turbine goes down, the whole system's not down. You just go in, you replace that, fix that one, the rest of them are still spinning. And I would think that your microinverters may be a good application there, where each one of the turbines could be hooked up to one of your microinverters, creating AC on the spot, which would be much easier to conduit down to the central point.
Absolutely. I think all of these, like as we discussed, these microinverters really do enable a host of other applications, particularly in a distributed environment. Now, you bring about actually a very good point. You know, the second big advantage of the Enphase microinverter system is that in a traditional system, you do have a single point of failure at the system level, which means if that inverter were to go down, which unfortunately they sometimes do, your entire array, you know, if it's a residential, you could have 20, 25 panels producing as much as, you know, as much as 3-4 kilowatts of power, you will lose that entire array because that one central point of failure, which is that inverter died. Whereas in the case of a micro, because all the panels are connected up in parallel, in the unlikely event that a micro did go down, but you know, you lose like 1/25th of your energy production, it's not a wild scramble to get out there and fix that inverter or fix that microinverter. You can deal with it as routine maintenance. This becomes actually very critical as the system sizes get larger, as you head into commercial systems where system availability becomes a key factor. And there, if you have a site with a few hundred or even 1,000 panels, and if a microinverter were to go down, you just lost 0.1% of your power, and you just don't, it's not a big deal, you just don't deal with it right away, you just deal with it once a quarter when you go out there to wash your panels, you go out there and fix it. Now, from a residential standpoint, the thing that we didn't touch upon was aesthetics. Again, now you don't have a big inverter on the side of your garage or inside your garage with a fan spinning up in it, and all of those things go away. It's a very, very aesthetically clean installation, just like it is at my house. My wife's very happy about our installation because the nice thing is we are virtually completely off the grid. We consistently overproduce. We produce more than we use. And you don't see a big inverter or any wild conduiting or DC or AC disconnects anywhere on the wall of our garage. It's just all hidden underneath the panels. So again, from a second big advantage, just to sum it up, is that reliability is a very big deal. From a system reliability standpoint, there is no single point of failure.
Yeah. Now let's talk for a second about the range of application and the number of units that you have, because I would imagine, you know, you have small solar panels, you have big solar panels. A small one might put out 10 watts, a big one might put out, 300 watts. And is it a one-size-fits-all or that, you know, can handle from that small to that large, or do you have a number of different microinverters to handle different ranges of energy output?
The breakdown is not necessarily on power output. We have currently the inverter that we have on the market, the first one that's on the market, handles all panels up to about 215 watts, a panel that's rated for 215 watts STC, or which is referred to as standard test conditions. So you can go anywhere from 150 to 215, anything. All of those things are handled by the same inverter. Now, what's different, though, is that all panels are not made the same in that the number of cells that are used in the panels dictate the output voltage that these panels put out. So we work with most of the panels in the marketplace, and they're all 72-cell modules, which means there are 72-cell panels, 72 cells that are in a panel. We work with all of those. We just are in the process of releasing an inverter that will work with panels that have 96 cells in them. These are a little bit bigger. They put more power out as well. So the range of inverters that we put out, the same inverter really virtually works for most of the panels that are on there. Our website actually has what we refer to as a module compatibility list. Just as an FYI, I use module and panel interchangeably. There is a module compatibility list that lists all the panel modules that we work with, and there are a few hundred of them on the list.
You were talking earlier about the MPPT, the maximum power output tracking, or PowerPoint tracking. That's specific to the 72-cell panel.
No, actually, our MPPT technology that we have developed actually works across all different kinds of panels. So right now, the product that we have released, as I said, it works with 72-cell panels, and you'll see that we are in beta testing right now with the 96-cell panels as well. And very soon, we'll address the remainder of the market as well in terms of the types of panels. There are so many different types of panels. We are trying to, being a young company, we are trying to go after the biggest market first before we start targeting the rest. And that's kind of how we have, that's progression of our release of products, if you may. We have released the 72, we have released the 96, and then we're going to start releasing the smaller cell modules as well shortly.
So the present product that you have available is specific to solar cells and would not be something that would yet work for some of the other applications we're talking about, a wind turbine, for example, but that conceivably in the future you will build microinverters for those applications.
Absolutely. These things are targeted specifically for solar panels or solar modules. They have been CSA listed per UL 1741, which is the safety standard. They've been tested, listed for that standard, and so they are really meant to be used with solar panels only.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when we're talking about larger systems, you're mentioning the example of a commercial installation. In a solar farm where you've got a whole bunch of these solar panels out there, are they of an output that would work with your existing unit, or is that something you have yet to introduce to the market?
No, absolutely. They work right now with a number of these solar farms have panels that are on our module compatibility list, and we work with all of them, as a matter of fact. We are currently in the design phase for a pretty large commercial installation. Like I said, the modules, the inverter that we have released covers a very, very large, substantial portion of the inverter panels that are out in the marketplace.
I would imagine that your audience or your customer base is primarily new installations, but do you also have some people who are swapping out their old for this new system?
I think the bulk of our understanding is our channel that we sell through is distribution, so it's sometimes a little hard for us to pinpoint specifically how the inverter has been used. I would hazard a guess that the bulk of our installations are new installs, but I am aware that some people are looking at upgrading their installation using our technology. And others are actually supplementing their existing, they're leaving their traditional system running as it is and then adding new panels with our microinverters on them. We will work, we coexist, we don't have any problem working in that scenario at all.
Let's talk for a minute about storage. Let's say somebody wants to go off grid and they're using your microinverters, how would that work?
So again, you know, our systems really have been designed and tested primarily for grid-tight systems, not necessarily for off-grid. I know that there are a number of people who have applied this technology for off-grid, and I believe that they use a terminology called AC coupling, where they have a source of some sort, like a generator that's capable of handling the backfeed from a, so they have a source which the generator acts like a grid, and then we, then the microinverter then thinks that it's a very stable grid and then supplies power. But really we have not tested our system in that environment. If you look at the market again, close to 85 to 90% of the market in 2007, at least in the U.S., was grid-tied, not off-grid. So we decided that we would address that market first. We are definitely looking to serve the off-grid market as well, because there are a number of advantages in that environment as well.
Wouldn't you agree that even though right now the culture of our power usage is grid-dependent, that the future trend, from an idealistic point of view, will be for distributed energy, so that we are no longer dependent upon a grid system, though we may be tied into a grid system, so that we could be either independent or interdependent, and that our home power systems would work to provide exclusive power for our home, or could send power back to the grid, or we could use the grid to supplement power that is not provided by our home generator, that is the ideal target for power generation?
Absolutely. I could agree with you 100% more. That's exactly how it is, as an example, as I gave you at my house. We don't consume as much as we generate. So our meter always during the day runs backwards. And we just, the solar generation first offsets the consumption in our house. And then what's extra is fed back into the grid. And that's how it's referred to as net metering. And then during the nighttime, obviously, we have to consume from the grid. But during the day, we are always overproducing. As a matter of fact, net over time, we will have produced more than we have consumed. And that's fairly typical in a lot of our installations that we have seen, that people either perfectly match so that they're 100% offsetting their consumption, or in some cases maybe a little bit delta, where they have to pay a very small amount to the utility or to the grid as well. And then there are hybrid systems where they supplement the grid normally, and then they charge the battery as well, and in the event of a grid failure, for example, they can draw power out of the battery system.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's take your system as an example, where you don't have a battery backup system. You're using your solar system to provide your energy during the day. What you don't use goes to the grid. And then at night, when there's no solar input, you're pulling energy from the grid only. And you have some kind of a controller unit that manages all of that. What happens, let's say you're in the middle of the day, at the peak of solar production, and you're not at home, you maybe have a couple of clocks running that are plugged in, and the grid goes down. You have a power outage. What happens to all of the energy that's being produced?
Unfortunately, by law, at this time, and to be compliant with the UL 1741 standard, when the grid goes away, we have to shut down, and there's a very good reason for it. It's a safety requirement, because if you continue to produce power, then if there is a lineman that's working out there, they can be put in a very dangerous situation because there's a solar system that is producing power. So in order to avoid that, the safety requirement dictates that, and rightfully so, that the solar system should shut down in the event that the grid fails, and our system complies with that standard and does exactly that. And it's been a long time. I mean, I don't recall the last time, at least where we are, that have lost the grid. I mean, the grid's always has been very reliable and has always been there. However, like as I mentioned, there are some hybrid systems which you know people can set up systems to do that, where in the event that the grid disappears, they can disconnect, physically disconnect themselves from the grid and run independently and not lose the solar energy that is being produced. But most applications that we are seeing today with our system seems like are just normal grid tied, where effectively, I always think about it this way, that the grid is acting like a big battery. Mm-hmm. And during the day, you're charging your battery. It's the grid. And at night, you're pulling from the grid.
Right. Now, in that scenario you were describing where some people are modifying the system a little bit, they have some kind of a power shutoff switch where they manually disconnect from the grid. The power is out from the grid, and they want to be able to draw power from their solar system, so they disconnect themselves from the grid, and then they're able to draw power from their solar system.
Yes, I believe that there are a few hybrid systems like that people have put in and using the technology. Absolutely, I believe that's happening.
So my question is, in that scenario, let's say they disconnected themselves from the grid, so they're allowed to keep generating electricity, but they don't need to use as much as being produced in the middle of the day, for example. What happens to the system? Where does the excess energy go?
In that scenario, I'd imagine that the extra energy actually goes into charging your battery, if you have a battery system.
So, yeah, but let's say they don't have a battery system.
Then there is no load, there's not enough consumption, and you just leave energy back in the panel. You just don't. These off-grid inverters tend to be very smart. Like I said, we are not an off-grid inverter, we are an on-grid inverter. These off-grid inverters are very smart. They know how much energy to extract out of the panel to match what your consumption is, what your load is, if you may.
So the inverters actually act like a governor to match the load with the power production.
Exactly. It's an inverter and there's a charge controller because you need a battery there. An inverter and charge controller put together are a very smart system, and they figure out that, hey, I should not be pushing in more energy than is being used because that could, you know, and they just balance themselves out. So in that situation, you leave some energy on the table.
If you're not pulling energy from a panel that is producing, do you have any heating issues in the panel?
Not really. It really has to do with MPPT. The MPPT kind of governs that. It just, just extracts the energy that is required, and it's smart enough in that sense.
So you don't have damage issues in the case of not pulling off power. Like if you have a motor and you load it down, it heats up, and you can destroy your motor.
No, it's not that significant at all. Because the reality of the situation is that these panels are not very efficient. These panels tend to be, the best of the panels are about 15, 16, 17% efficient. That's just the reality of solar systems today. So leaving, in a perfect irradiant situation where you may have 1,000 watts per square meter falling on your panels, you're going to be converting off the order of about 170 watts or 180 watts. So leaving a few extra watts on the table, the remaining 840 watts is actually being dissipated as heat energy and anyway. So, I mean, again, 1,000 watts per square meter maybe is in an only ideal situations, but I'm giving an example that by definition these panels are not yet very efficient. They're right. They're getting much, much better, and we're seeing that they're improving leaps and bounds, but currently the production modules are about of the order on average, I'd say about 13 to 15% efficient.
Right. When you say 13 to 16% efficient, you're talking about the amount of solar energy that is hitting the panel versus the amount of electricity that is being produced compared to what could be produced given the amount of energy that's striking the panel.
Precisely. So the rest of the energy, actually, a lot of energy gets reflected back, and some of the energy just is converted into heat on the panel itself.
I should mention on a side that While photovoltaic panels are on that order of efficiency, solar thermal panels, where they're converting the solar energy to heat, whether for heating water or for running a Stirling engine, for example, mm-hmm. are much more efficient. They're up more like 60% in harnessing the sun's energy, and they don't get enough attention in the renewable energy sector, perhaps because they're not as sexy or whatever, but they really are a much more efficient use of the solar energy.
I think the combination of having a few panels of PV for so that you can feed your immediate new usage, which is electricity, as well as supplementing it with a solar thermal system where you are offsetting your the amount of your heater or your water heater's energy is actually a good thing. I think they both are very good complementary systems.
From an installation, ease of installation point of view, I would think that the microinverter would be a lot easier and that the installers would love it compared to the old traditional system where they've got the heavier wires, the bigger holes, I know I helped my dad install his system. The gauge of wires between batteries, you know, these are honking wires, and they're hard to bend. It's hard to get things to hook together right. And you've got a big old nut with, you know, a half-inch wrench that you're using to tighten down the top of this bolt onto the node on a battery. Whereas your system, you know, you're using a 14-gauge wire and wire nuts.
Absolutely, and again, the fact that it starts with design. There, with a traditional system, you have to be very careful in designing, in figuring out how many panels you can put in a string, because there are considerations of there's a very finite voltage range that these inverters, these large traditional inverters, operate in, and when you have 12 panels versus 13 panels, the voltage output of these panels vary a lot over temperature and the amount of light that falls on the panels. So there is a lot of design work that needs to go on before you can install a traditional system. With us, the design work is absolutely minimal. Just attach your microinverters to them. You can put as many number as you want. The 14-gauge wire, there's an upper limit to number of them you can put in a branch circuit, but just start a second branch circuit. Can have anywhere from 1 to about 16 of these in a single branch circuit. They just terminate into a regular AC junction box that you can get at a regular hardware store, and then pipe the AC from there straight into your load center. Optionally, some jurisdictions may or may not require an AC disconnect. At my house, that requirement wasn't there. So, like I said, our installation is very, very clean. Now, the other thing that also helps a great deal is with string design, it's very difficult sometimes to troubleshoot a problem if there is one. If there are a number of, if the panels are connected up in series strings, with us, as we had said, this is not just a microinverter, it's a full microinverter system. What we've done is embed very sophisticated communications technology into each and every microinverter. Now, the microinverter collects the information not just about its own performance, but the performance of the panel that it's associated with. And this information goes on the same AC wiring. The wire that carries the AC signal, AC power, also carries the data. All you need is a small communications gateway device that you plug into any socket in your house, and you can plug your laptop to it or connect it to a broadband connection, and you have complete visibility into the performance of your system, performance of each and every panel that's in your system.
You don't have to run individual wires from each panel or each inverter into some kind of a central controller, so you have a view of what's going on. It's all conveyed through the 14-gauge wire that's conveying the electricity, and that is accessible through any outlet in the house that's connected to that's part of the home wiring system.
Absolutely, and this is something that's never been possible before. Powerline communications people have done before, but this notion of getting unprecedented amount of visibility into the performance of each and every panel, it's never been possible before. We always say that with traditional inverters, really what you're monitoring is whether your inverter is running. With us, with our technology, you really are looking down at each and every panel, so you really get a better sense about exactly what your panel is doing. And all of this information comes on the same 14-gauge wire. There's no extra wiring to do, nothing to install. All you take is this little communications gateway, which is the size of about two decks of cards, plug it into a wall socket right near your broadband router, and then just run one Ethernet connection from this communications gateway to your broadband router, and you're done. And you can go log into a website, and you can exactly see what all your panels are doing. Now, the really nice thing is that you really don't have to do any of this management. The Enlighten, which is our software tool, runs in the background and is constantly evaluating. It's comparing one panel to the next panel to the next, and is evaluating to see whether all of your entire system is producing the maximum amount of energy possible. And it does it just by comparing one panel to the other. And if it sees any deviation, says, hey, you know, maybe there's a big leaf, or a bird dropping or something on a panel, and you see a sudden drop in production, the software will send out an email and say, hey, panel number 25 out of your 35 panel installation, panel number 25 seems to have dropped off in production. By the way, it's really not affecting that much your entire system, because only that one panel, the problem is completely isolated. You know, when you get a chance next time you're up on the roof or as part of your routine maintenance, you may want to pay particular attention to that one panel and hose it off.
Yeah, that's really clever. Now, let's talk for a second, clarify this communication system. The components involved are a module that you plug into the wall, the size of two decks of cards, and then you say there's a cable that goes from there to your wireless router?
Right. So just a regular Ethernet cable that you just plug into an empty port on your wireless router and connect it to the communications gateway. And so normally, for example, at my house and in virtually most installations, they plug this communications gateway right next to your broadband router.
Mm-hmm.
So into a wall socket where your broadband router is connected right next to it, and then it's a 3-foot-long cable wire that's just your computer wire that you plug in. One end goes into the communications gateway, another one goes into your broadband router, and that's all the setup that you need. Information gets sent to the website. You can go look at it. There's also a display on the communications gateway.
And you can access that information from anywhere you're at via laptop. Let's say I'm in Spain on business and I want to see how my solar panels are doing. I log into my account on your website and it tells me what's going on at home.
Absolutely. And here's what's an interesting story for you. Last year I was traveling in Mongolia. And I happened to log in, and I could tell what one of our test systems was doing. One of the first test systems we installed, I could tell exactly what was going on.
Uh-huh.
And it just gives you complete visibility into each and every panel. So if you're an installer, as an example, you may have done 25 installations. You have one comprehensive view of each and every install. There's a list that shows all the installations that you have done, and you can drill down and look at Mr. Smith's or Mrs. Smith's install and see if there's a problem, and that way you can help maintain the system for them as well.
I might mention something just on the side. I found out about your system through a mailer I got last week, and I send an email to the guy who helps create pages at Pez Wiki, Robert Pritchett, and I said, hey, let's create a page about this. He already had a bullet in the hopper about it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how he found out about it, but anyway, we created a feature page. But when I went to your website, I didn't get it right off. It didn't connect as to what it was you were doing. It, It was more of a sales job to installers of, you know, here's how much of a commission you can get per installation. I'd like to recommend that you revamp your website a little bit so it's a little more user and end-user friendly, not just geared toward installers who are going to know what they're looking at.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for that feedback. We will definitely do that. We usually sell through installers because they are the ones who typically go out there and recommend components and modules and inverters. However, we are in the process of revamping our website, and we will have a link that is specifically for end customers, for homeowners and commercial owners. That way they can go out there and get every piece of information that they desire.
Yeah. On another kind of off-topic or tangential question, right now the U.S. economy is tanking in a fairly rapid and volatile way, and there's a lot of questions as to what's going to happen to the economy of the U.S. and the world, and how bad is the crash going to be, how long is the recovery going to take. And in some regards, the bailout is going to extend things a little bit, but it's not going to ease the eventual collapse and reconfiguring that's going to be required. In the energy industry, even though this is a rising industry, it's on its way up while many other things may be on their way down, the economy is going to hurt the ability of people to be able to afford these systems, and only to the extent that the solar enables them to function, whereas maybe their existing grid is not going to function anymore. To that extent, it may continue to be of interest to people. In that scenario, with kind of a world meltdown scenario, solar becomes very interesting to people as a way to continue on while society is not continuing on. And I would think that in that scenario, the microinverter would need to be tied to some kind of a battery system so that it can serve as an off-grid mode. And just maybe you could comment on, if you've had any discussions along these lines as to, it seems like your present business model is based on a status quo. Everything keeps on going fine as it has been, and we're not really there anymore.
Yeah, I think, we did think about it at the time when, things were going fine. We recognized that the issues that are in the marketplace today, and, as a business, for us to survive, we'll have to adapt. It's not a very big switch for us to address the needs of off-grid as well, and it's definitely something that we are looking at very, very closely. In general, I'm optimistic that things, we are going through a bit of a turmoil. We are definitely going through a major turmoil. But I'm always optimistic that that things are going to turn around and things are going to be fine for the future. I just believe that, we are a resilient group of people, and we'll figure out a way to make these things work.
One of the things we've not done yet is we haven't given out your website. What's the URL of your website?
It's www.enphaseenergy.com. That's one word, Enphase Energy, ENPHASEenergy.com.
We also have coverage of your website on our PezWiki.com website, a little overview of what you've got, link to your website. And I think I'll probably be submitting this to the New Energy Congress to see if they might include it in the top 100 energy technologies. And my reason would be, the reason I would include it there is because it's a facilitator of making renewable energy more practical and making existing systems work better, so that solar is, you can take an existing system and using this microinverter system, you can make it perform 5 to 25% better.
Absolutely. And the other nice thing about it, we always say, is, as you pointed out, with things, you know, the economy slowing down a little bit, you don't have to commit to a, you know, a $30,000 system with, you know, 35 panels or 40 panels. You can start with 5 panels. And you can really grow grow over time as things start to improve and things start to get better. So you can really start with a smaller system. It's an enabler for that as well. And again, for really small systems, we have seen sites that have come online, because every time that communications gateway gets plugged in, there's a notification saying, hey, new sites come online, and we give those system owners their own protected password and user login so nobody else has access to it. And we noticed that there are sites that have 3 panels that have, the people have installed systems with just 3 panels, and then, of course, we have systems that have hundreds of panels on them as well. So, again, you know, I think it's also an enabler for the broader adoption of solar as well. That's what our belief is.
Mm-hmm. That is a very significant contribution. I think it's a fantastic concept. Let's just go into the history for a second. You're a co-founder of this company, and I remember you have an outstanding video on your website that describes the philosophy of the technology, how it works. And you also go in that video a little bit about how this thing started. The person was involved in installing solar systems and saw some shortcomings and basically tackled it with this solution.
Yeah, he's our co-founder of our company. It's Martin Fornage. It's myself and Martin. And Martin is our chief technology officer, and he had an installation, which is an off-grid install with battery backup and everything, on his property. And we are both engineers. I come from an engineering background. I work in a number of technology companies here in the San Francisco Bay Area. We both work together. We are co-workers. We were co-workers and friends before, and we were throwing around some ideas, as engineers invariably do. And we said, and Martin proposed to me, saying, hey, you know, there is this problem. I think that can be solved, and I think we can do a good job solving it. And that's how kind of the whole thing started. We said, you know, this traditional systems where they're connected up in series have certain limitations. And how can we design a system that will overcome those limitations of energy production, of reliability, of design and installation costs, of management, because we can embed communication technology, and so on and so forth. And kind of that's how it all started. That's how it started, how we started discussing. We were sitting in his garage one day, and we're drawing up some pictures and and figuring out what we could do and how we could make this work.
Yeah. When did you have your first production prototype and start going commercial?
So we stayed in beta for an extended period of time. We entered beta exactly a year ago, and we wanted to stay in beta because we wanted to make sure that these things were absolutely bulletproof. They were very, very reliable. And so we spent close to a year. We had about 1,000 units running in beta, and in June is when we went into broad distribution. So we are available through 5 of the biggest distributors in the U.S. You can see that on our website. People can just call any one of those distributors and buy our inverters. So we've been in volume production and commercial availability since June of this year, and we have shipped thousands of units so far. And and the traverses all over the U.S. We have installations in the East Coast and in the New York area and in New Mexico and California. Obviously, a number of them in California. We've got a number of sites installed in Hawaii, Washington State. So we are seeing systems. Colorado. We have a few installations that have just popped up in Colorado. We see all these installs coming up almost on a daily basis.
What about international?
Currently, the product has been certified for Canada and the U.S. We are working on the European market as well.
Mm-hmm. So that's basically in research and development.
That's correct. And the basic technology really doesn't change. There are a few changes that have, the changes are fairly minimal. What's important is that we have to go through the whole certification process to make sure we comply with all the safety requirements of the European market as well.
That's the CE, is it?
That's correct. You're absolutely right. That's the CE mark, work towards the CE mark, and it's a very detailed certification process that we have run to, fairly similar to the certification process and safety requirements that we comply with in the U.S. market.
Well, Raghu, I appreciate you coming on the show and describing, talking about your technology. It's a very fascinating and worthwhile, and we wish you all the best as you go forward on this.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Really enjoyed the discussion. I hope I was able to convey to your audience the advantages and of the Enphase microinverter system.
I think you did very well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Free Energy Now, brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net and join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information Network.